Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. Welcome back. It is the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. I am Sean Casey. Thank you for joining us. This is the Casey commentary as we analyze, dissect, and peruse the hate of the Union speech delivered by Chairman Joe, the progressive Marxist illegitimately installed to ruin this country. Here it's Saturday, March 9, 2024, year of our Lord, as we spring forward to daylight savings time this weekend or early this morning. It is a reminder that we must spring forward into action to stop the transformation of this great exceptional nation into the Marxist hellhole they want to drag us into. And this is promising to be, I think, one of the probably the ugliest, nastiest elections cycles in the history of the United States. There have been, you know, bad ones before. This isn't the first one, nor will it probably be the last, but this is a pivotal election with 243 days to go. It is time. You cannot sit this one out. Your family, your friends, your colleagues, like-minded patriots, those sitting on the fence, you have to do whatever you can, whether it's to volunteer, whether it's to convince, whether it's just to get the turnout going. If you're a Republican that sort of a ho-hum about this election, or if you're an independent that you don't like either choice, okay, fine. These are the choices that you have, to sit it out or to vote for somebody that you know is not going to have any chance of being elected, is going to not do well for the country. It is not going to go well. So, sometimes you do have to make difficult choices, and this might be one of those years. I know it's easy for me. I know that the only man that's going to save this country is former President Donald J. Trump. Chairman Joe is confused. He's agitated. He's angry. He's addled. He's all of the above. He's not in charge. Barack Hussein Obama, this is his third term. We cannot give him a fourth term. Otherwise, he will finish out the country. No doubt about that. So if you didn't get a chance to watch the State of the Union, all 67 minutes of it, it is, I believe, I've been covering State of the Unions for a long, long time. It was the most hateful, divisive, un-American, angry, hyper-partisan rant. I wouldn't call it a speech. It was a rant. It was divisive. It was demonizing, towards businesses. The nerve of him to get up there and say that the people got to pay their fair share when his son is being prosecuted for tax evasion is just beyond the pale. It is, most Americans probably aren't going to connect with that, but it is what it is. He's obsessed with Donald Trump, although he wouldn't name him by name. He referred to him as my predecessor 13 times. He looked like he was over-caffeinated or on something. The speculation is he was given Adderall, but we don't know that for a fact. Good luck finding the White House Dr. Kevin O'Connor, who thinks that he's still cogent and not demented. This was a speech about Donald Trump and about his anger, not about the American people. The State of the Union is supposed to be, you deliver to Congress, and this is an address to the American people, the Congress, about the state of the country. And this was a campaign speech, pure and simple. Nothing more, nothing less. It was not a State of the Union. It was, again, just an angry old man, get off my lawn rant, because he hates Trump. He's deranged with Trump and the MAGA Republicans, or America First conservatives that have now dominate the Republican Party. We'll get to them a little bit later on, maybe on Tuesday, and the incredible betrayal that Speaker Johnson and those Republicans, with a few exceptions in the House Freedom Caucus, they're continuing the same old, no single subject bills, more spending. Look, when you start breaking down this, you would think that the two biggest issues right now facing, and this is Gallup or poll after poll, the border and illegal immigration and the economy. Well, he stopped mentioning Bidenomics for good reason, but it took him 25 minutes into this speech before he would even talk about the economy, and he screwed that up with propaganda, lies, and mistruths. It took him 40 minutes into the speech to even mention the border, and that pretty much had to be prompted by Marjorie Taylor Greene, who had given him a pin with Lincoln Riley's name on it on his way into the chamber and telling her to say her name. He kept the pin, more on that in just a second. But he led off by comparing himself to FDR. We are not at war. He is not a wartime president. He wants to be a wartime president. He wants to drag us into Russia, Ukraine, into Israel, Hamas, perhaps even into the Middle East with Iran and the Houthis. Announcing he's going to build a port in Gaza, and the United States military is, how is the United States military going to build a port in Gaza and have no boots on the ground? Go figure that one out. We still don't have the details of that cockamamie idea. And yeah, that is one for the ages, let me tell you. You know, they dropped a bunch of aid in Gaza and killed people because the parachutes didn't open up over the weekend. It is time they let Israelis finish the job, completely eradicate Hamas, and then we can rebuild, and then we can make sure the people of Gaza get what they need. Or, you know, look, they're the ones that voted for Hamas. 75% of them support Hamas. So when you support a terrorist organization, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. In any event, this was all about Ukraine. It was all about Putin, climate change, which is, you know, again, a bunch of hoax. If you haven't heard Senator Tommy Tuberville, he's been great on this, saying at least 25% of all this money that's going over for climate change is a complete hoax. I think it's probably more. The fact that we also have this money that cannot be forensically tracked into Ukraine, and now we're supposed to spend more money into that. It's just, it's amazing to me that we have this kind of leadership or lack thereof. So we had that. We had a bunch of J6 lies that were told. Once again, he framed this as freedom and democracy. Well, he is the one that's taking away our freedoms. He's taking away our freedom of speech vis-a-vis not being able to protest outside the Capitol. People are being arrested for just being inside the perimeter. They didn't even go into the Capitol. They have been arrested. That is an assault on our freedom of speech. He's assaulting parents by trying to track them and trace them coming home from school board meetings with his FBI. Never mind, we've got illegal aliens running around bashing in the skulls of innocent 22-year-old nursing students. More on that coming up in just a second. But in democracy, we are not. We are a constitutional republic. So the threat to him is to his Marxist a form of government that they want to establish. That's the threat to Biden and the Democrat Party. And so he started it immediately, just railing after the J6ers and what happened in Philadelphia the next day, referred to it as July 6th. So once again, whatever he was on Thursday night, by Friday he had it worn off and he didn't have any more left in him.
January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War.
Yeah, so that is something that when you look at it, it is, it's troublesome, to tell you the truth. And that is the J6. One of these days, we're going to get the full truth. Now we find out that Kamala Harris was not actually in the Capitol on that day. She left the Capitol at 11:21 that morning. So this excuse that the reason why they had to lock everything down was because the vice president was there and Mike Pence was there and all this other stuff, it was a lie. The DOJ lied. This was a Fed surrection. More and more of the truth is coming out. The enhanced sentencing on interrupting a judicial proceeding, it was not a judicial proceeding. It was a legislative proceeding, and that is not a felony, nor is it a misdemeanor. And so the judges now are slowly having to admit, they screwed that up. So there's a lot of justice that needs to be meted out to corrupt judges, to corrupt prosecutors, and to Nancy Pelosi and the corrupt feds who set this whole thing up. So this was, again, a bunch of lies. He went so far as to threaten the Supreme Court of the United States. It's unheard of. You're there at the State of the Union and you're attacking the Supreme Court?
And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you brought about.
Yeah, so just like Chuck Schumer, remember, hey, Gorsuch, hey, Kavanaugh, we're coming for you, basically. You rule against us. If we don't like your opinions, we're coming for you. They did come for Kavanaugh. Never did find out who leaked that, did we? Did we? Of course, it's amazing how they can track down grandmothers and they can track down other people that were outside of J6 that day, but they can't find the pipe bomber, and they can't find the guy or gal that leaked the opinion that led the assassination attempt on Justice Kavanaugh. It is a corrupt Justice Department. It is a corrupt FBI, with apologies to rank and file agents who do care about their job and are trying to do their best to stop human trafficking. But of course, no, it's the white rural rage, white Christians, white nationalists, and the J6ers and parents are protesting at school board meetings. They're the biggest threat to the United States these days. So Joe Biden, of course, went on to lie about a lot of things in that State of the Union address, including the fact he lied about cutting the deficit. No such luck. In fact, do you know that we add about $1 trillion to that deficit every 100 days? So we're adding about $3 trillion every year to the deficit, which now stands at $38 trillion. Well, it's $2 to $3 trillion every year, and it's going to stand at $38 trillion. That's not cutting the deficit. He lied to you about that. He lied about job creation, saying he created 15 million jobs. The vast majority of the jobs were recovered, people coming back after the pandemic, after the CCP virus was unleashed. He lies about inflation. He's the cause of inflation. When Trump left, it was 1.9%, and it went all the way up to 9%, a 40-year high before the Fed started having to raise interest rates to put a damper on it. Now it's down to a little over 3 to 4%, but it's still high. It's still higher than it was when Trump. Mortgage rates were right around 2.5-3% when Trump left. Now they're 7%. So the economy is struggling, and we know what it's like because we feel it out here in the hinterlands, in flyover country. But once again, at the State of the Union, he just lies through his teeth.
I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but if you want to get an Air Force One and fly to Toronto, Berlin, Moscow, even Moscow, probably. And bring your prescription with you, and I promise you, I'll get it for you for 40% the cost you're paying now. Same company, same drug. Same place.
Yeah, after an angry rant against Putin and Russia, now he's making jokes about going to Moscow to pick up prescription drugs. The man is just toast. He's shot. Of course, he did make it. And that's it's a low bar. He made it through the entire speech. Okay. All right. So I'm sure he did with the aid of chemicals or something else. God knows what. But this to me, I think, was there were a couple of important moments. One, of course, was at the very end of this speech, Gold Star Father Steve Nakui, who was invited by Florida Congressman Brian Mass to be in the gallery, he shouted out Abby Gate. His son was one of the ones that was killed in that botched Afghanistan withdrawal. One of the 13, he was a Marine, that was killed in that botched withdrawal. And so Steve Nakui was there, and he shouted out Abby Gate, U.S. Marines. And they actually not just escorted him out, they handcuffed him, they arrested him. And of course, he was cut loose later that night. But that was just, again, horrific that they would actually treat a Gold Star father that way. He wasn't hurting anybody. Was he disruptive? Okay. But so are members of Congress, and they're not escorted out in handcuffs, are they? So it is something that I can understand that father's pain. Not only did he lose his son, he also lost his other son who committed suicide because he was so grief-stricken over the loss of his brother that he committed suicide months later after his brother had died. So imagine what that man has been through. Imagine what that family has been through. But again, Joe Biden's son, Beau, unfortunately, passed of brain cancer, not from combat, not from a botched command decision, but from a medical for medical reasons. So I don't want to hear stuff about Joe Biden is a compassionate, he's a good and decent moral man. He is nothing but. He's the exact opposite of that. And so finally, I think this was the moment for me that I think will cook Joe Biden's goose. One is that we've all heard of Laken Riley, the 22-year-old nursing student that was killed by an illegal alien, allegedly, who had his ties to a bloodthirsty Venezuelan gang. And of course, that largely because of the open border radical immigration policies of Joe Biden, who pretty much wiped out all of Trump's policies. He stopped building the border wall, which now a federal judge says you can't divert that money to do something else. You got, if that money was appropriated for the wall, you got to finish the wall. So that's good news there. But he got rid of Remain in Mexico. He got rid of, catch and detain, and now he reinstalled the catch and release back into the country. He had stopped the deportations. I mean, there are about five or six major Trump policies that he did away with, and that's the reason why we have open borders. That's the reason why we have people dying in America today, because Joe Biden and the Democrats and some of the uniparty Republicans have blood on their hands. But this was the moment, we'll play it and then discuss it, when he started to get to the border and Marjorie Taylor Greene interrupted him with Laken Riley, say her name, and this is how it went down.
I'd be a winner, not really. Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look.
Wow, there's so much to unpack in that one phrase, and most of the media has missed this. That's why you come here for the truth. Number one, everybody's talking about the Lincoln mispronunciation. It's Laken, not Lincoln. Laken Riley's a football coach at Southern California. So that's just typical Joe Biden. You know, he's trying to, he even has a button. He holds the button that MTG gave him up there, and it says Laken on it. And all he had to do was turn it around and read it. And remember, he insulted the Republicans. I know you all know how to read. Regarding the border bill, he can't even read the damn button, and he's insulting Republicans on, I know you know how to read. But that's typical Biden. That's a typical gaffe. He butchers everybody's names. On Friday in Philadelphia, he was referring to January 6th. He said it was July the 6th. Once again, if he's not hopped up on some kind of chemical, he's completely out of touch. But even with the chemical, he got it wrong. Then he admitted that it was an illegal alien that killed this innocent woman, and the left, led by former Speaker Pelosi, melted down over that.
Now, you should have said undocumented, but it's not a big thing, okay? What's the big thing about
that? I actually wasn't even going to ask about that. I was just going to ask more about the moment, but you do think that he should have said undocumented? That wasn't going to be my question.
Well, we usually say undocumented. Uh-huh. He said illegal.
Yeah, undocumented, or is there now saying, newcomer? That's the new one that the Biden White House is using to refer to illegal aliens. First off, illegal alien is a term that's codified in our federal code. That is what the proper description is of a person that comes into the country illegally. And we also use resident alien for somebody that is here legally. So it's not a pejorative to say they're illegal alien. It's a statement of fact. So, and of course, over the years, the left has tried to once again, like they've done with gay, hijack the language. They want to take it from illegal alien to illegal immigrant, and now it's migrant, and of course, it's newcomer. Okay, but to me, I think we saw they melted down. Not the fact that a young woman had her life snuffed out from her and had her head bashed in. And by the way, Laken Riley's mother, Ashley Phillips, said it was pathetic. You know, if you're going to say her name, say it properly. Learn her name. Say it, again, if you are going to, they were invited by their congressman to come to the State of the Union address, and they politely declined, and I don't blame them. They're in a period of mourning. But there they, and imagine now you're watching this thing, and you have to be forced to mention her name. I don't think he was going to mention it on his own. Marjorie Taylor Greene. With the button and say her name interruption. But then he botches the name, and then he does admit that it's an illegal alien. And, of course, we watch Pramila Jayapal and Nancy Pelosi and a bunch of other radical progressive Marxists all get upset over the fact that he was called an illegal. Of course, on his way to Philadelphia, reporters were asking him, "Well, do you regret recalling, the killer of Laken Riley an illegal?" And he starts to say, "I don't regret it." Then he stops and says, "Well, technically, he's not supposed to be here." technically. No, that's the rule of law. But when you don't know the rule of law, when you don't recognize the rule of law, when you don't follow the rule of law, that's when you start getting into trouble. So this was an unscripted moment. This was not on his teleprompter, and I want to give kudos to MTG for forcing him off script, because the most important part, I want you to listen carefully. We'll play it for you one more time. The most important part of this is the back half of it when he talks about thousands being killed by illegals.
I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look.
How many thousands of people are being killed by illegals? How many thousands? And why is that? It's because of your policies, Chairman Joe. On national television, in the State of the Union address, you just admitted, you just confessed you have blood on your hands because of your policies. Thousands of people, meaning us, Americans, our family members, our friends, our colleagues, our fellow Americans, are being killed by illegals. On that note, at the very least, he should be impeached and removed from office. But in 243 days from now, let's all rally around our fellow countrymen and stop this madness, stop the insurrection, insanity, and the invasion, the hordes of people invading us, killing us, and poisoning our children, and vote this idiot out of office.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
And that's going to wrap it up for this version of the Casey Commentary, Hate of the Union. Back on Tuesday with another full episode for you. It's going to be a busy 243 days. A lot going on. We'll talk about the RNC change and much, much more. Until then, have a great weekend. And remember, you have to fight hard to stay free.